Welcome back. Again, glad you're here, praying that God would touch you and connect with you wherever you find yourself this day. This week, for me, has been kind of a challenge. We've had several families in our church, several friends that we have in the community, even one of our school families, that one of our primary ministry here at the church, of trying to just build relationships with families and try to encourage them in creating, developing faith in the next generation. One of our families here ended up having a tragedy, death in the family, and just there's just been lots going on. But I'm glad to be here with you, because I know that it's when we gather, when we're able to celebrate, when we're able to worship, God pours in us. God helps us and gives us the grace and strength. But hope you had a great week. Hope that no matter what happened, that God would just really bless you in this time. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for always being there for us and with us. I want to lift up right now all those that are struggling, especially the family that with the tragedy that they went through this week and the loss of just a wonderful woman who loved you and tried to honor you and how she lived. Lord, comfort them, encourage them. We want to also lift up, Lord, those who, just in the course of life, it's just difficult. And just want to just pray especially for Jeanette Dean's family, and that you would just encourage them, help us to know as a church how to surround them with love as well. And Lord, we just ask that you take this time, bless it, and use it for your glory. May my words be your words, and may you work in a way that we so desperately need. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. I want to invite you again to consider, if you haven't been here before, if you're just joining us, God wants us to grow in him. God wants you and I to actually read of his word, get to know him, and actually live life in a way that honors him. Not just because, but because he made us. And he wants us to live a life that actually he designed for us. And that discovering that we actually will experience life in all its fullness when we do that. But in that, he wants us to not just grow up a little bit, just to know a little bit, but he wants us to flourish. He wants us to soar to the skies, that in our lives, as we surrender more, the Holy Spirit works in us and actually cultivates and transforms us, that we're different people when we surrender to the Lord, because the Holy Spirit begins to do his work, and that work is something that takes time. It takes our continual surrender, and sometimes Jesus would put dying to yourself or taking up your cross even, because we need it, because it's challenging sometimes, this thing called life. But he meets us in those hard times. He meets us in those tragedies so we can flourish. But it takes you and I to come into that reservoir. It takes you and I to have those regular times where God fills up our cup and we take it in and we are reminded of who we are. We're reminded of how good he is. We're reminded that what he's doing in us and through us, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than just this moment. It's generations to come. You don't know how your surrender today will impact the generations tomorrow. You don't know how God's going to work through you in such a way to help others come to know him and experience life. But we can't do it on our own. We need God's continuing of filling up our cup. And I just want to encourage you in this, that it's not about trying harder. It's about trusting more. And my prayer has been that you would lean into it in such a way that God would his presence would just almost be tangible for you, and that as we dig in, you would see that God is not just meeting us here and letting us have a great time of worship and praise, but he wants you to know that he wants to walk with you every single day and everywhere you go. The good and the bad, the peaks and the valleys, and that he's enough. So let us jump into it. We've been digging into various letters throughout the New Testament specifically, and this last couple weeks we've been looking at Galatians. Galatians is a scripture, a letter written to this church that has a lot of non-Jewish people. And then there were some people that, after he kind of worked with his church, some people apparently came in and said, I don't think you're doing this right, kind of thing. And Paul hears, gets wind of this and says, wait, time out. Like this is not right. Like, we got to work on this. So here he's worked and actually founded this church, as Paul, this one of the early leaders of the Christian faith. And here he is. The reason that we find out why he's even came around those people when he planted this church was because he had something wrong with his body, some ailment. And so we mentioned something about his eyes or vision or something like that, but here he is, and as he's there, he gets talking and listening and praying, and he senses the Lord wants to do something here. And so he's addressing those who are teaching that Jesus Christ was not enough. And that's really what it comes down to. He's like, listen, Jesus is all we need. When it comes to us having a relationship with Jesus, with the Lord, that's Jesus is all we need. And so he's trying to address this, but there's some challenges here because they're thinking like this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, or maybe he made a mistake and stuff. But there's a couple themes that this really are very prevalent throughout all of Galatians, and that's that he's called us to and made a way for us to be right with God, that we can have a relationship with Him, not based on our performance, not based on what we know. But who we know. This who we know is through Jesus. As we surrender to Him, that we actually have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that in that relationship, now it changes everything. That Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That Jesus was sufficient. Another aspect of this letter is that freedom. Freedom from the challenges of where their life was before. They were part of a pagan society, a society that you know, pretty much anything and everything could be God, kind of thing. And so they just, it was kind of a whatever feels good, go with it. If it's legal, we're allowed to do it. Not very different from today in a lot of the world. But when it comes down is that he's trying to help them say, listen, you're freed from having to live that way anymore, that you don't have to try to shine for anyone else. You don't have to try to have the most, you know, toys. You don't have to have the biggest bank account. You don't have to have the most degrees. It doesn't matter about that. It's about, again, we're freed from being all of that, that we can have a life with God at the center. And that's that freedom, again, that we're freed actually for being able to have trust in the Lord, faith in the Lord, that we can, we're sons and daughters now of God. And that the life that he gives us, we actually then receive God's very spirit. The same spirit that was in Jesus now resides in us. All for us to know what love is and for us to be able to love others. It's sometimes we can get stuck, but this is a beautiful letter, again, of freedom and what that looks like. In short, just kind of go over a couple things from the chapters. Looking at chapters 4, 5, and 6, again, we did 1, 2, and 3 last week, but futility of the old ways, that the way of keeping the law, being an observant Jew, which was a gift until Jesus. Now Jesus says that's not enough, and it wasn't. They still found themselves still struggling, and so now it's like, no, in Jesus, we actually now have what we need. We have a relationship with the Lord. There's nothing we have to keep in that. Now that we've been freed to have that, he'll then unpack what that looks like and how to do it. And so again, he unpacks it when it comes in chapter 5, that freedom in Christ, the freedom from those things I just mentioned, the freedom for, again, living for him and being his son or his daughter. And again, all by being in Jesus, that when we trust in him, it changes everything. And then chapter 6 is all about bearing our burdens. What it means to be a church family and how to be a healthy church family. There's things you can do to really mess things up. There's things you can do to really bring it together. And so he's going to unpack some things of how to actually do that and what it looks like. And so I just want to take a moment, next few moments, to just kind of look at what a section of scripture. It's not long, but this about four verses But Galatians chapter 5, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And look at what is going on here in the freedom that we've been given and what's it for kind of thing. We're freed from, and we're not just freed from something, but he's actually matching it. He's actually saying it's not enough to just to be freed from something, but we've been freed for something. And so let's jump into it. So here's the text. Ready? For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Live in freedom. So now live free. Jesus has made a way back to him, back to the Father. And so now our role is to surrender and then live into it. If my wife and I were to adopt a child, we would you know, give them a home, and we would give them our name, and we would discuss and share with them our hopes and stuff. But if they continued to not understand that we're a family now, it wouldn't work. It would just not, it wouldn't make sense. This freedom is a lot of times like that, is that are we living in the way that God intended, that he's made us, he's given us? What if we were given the keys to a vehicle, a brand new vehicle, gorgeous? Think of your very favorite vehicle. And yet we never used the keys. We never unlocked the car. We never got in there and turned it on. We never actually used it and drove in it. It would just collect dust. It would get to a point where it wouldn't be usable. And so we can miss it, even though it's right there. Even though we've been given this gift of freedom, it's ours to embrace and then actually live into. And so let us do that. The text continues. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Now, he's going to unpack what that is here in a bit, but after our verses. But this freedom isn't just free to do whatever you want now. It's like, oh, now that I've been freed, I can now go do this. He's like, no, that's not what it's for. He says, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Now, that's a different kind of mindset than most people have. You've won the lottery, which is, this is greater than a lottery. You've won the lottery. Now what are you going to do? And it's usually just all about us. And so we've been freed to serve others in love. How are we doing that? What is one moment this last week where you put someone else first, where you prayed for them, or you just, your heart went out and you, okay, how can I try to encourage them? Could be, maybe you, again, reached out with a phone call, or maybe just listening to a friend that's really going through a lot. Could be you send them a card, or you took them out to lunch or something, or bought them a coffee. But either anything you do in the name and the way of Jesus is a gift. And so how can you and I do that? And so he's saying we've been freed to do something, for something. We've been freed to serve. And so we need to do that. We need to be, people should know of our faith from how we serve others. Think about that. Where in your life, how are you at serving others? Sometimes it's just natural. Maybe they just, you learned this growing up. Maybe it's really, it feels unnatural. And you're like, I don't know what he's talking about. And that's okay if that's where you're at. The reality is it's about us taking that and surrendering it to the Lord. I remember the first time I was a youth at a church. I was in high school, excuse me. And as I'm there, summertime came and they had a vacation Bible camp and at the church, and there was 100 plus kids there. And they're like, "Oh, the youth, who wants to help sign up?" And I'm like, "I don't know about little kids. I don't know if that's my thing." And they're like, "Oh, you'll be fine." And so I go, and it was fun, but it was exhausting to the point where I was like, it was great birth control, first of all, but it was just one that's going, I don't, like, it took it out of me. And that was okay. It was a good tired, but it definitely, I realized that's not my calling is children's ministry, one. And two, I just said, you know, it's sometimes we all got to chip in. And for that week, did it, and it was a great experience for those children. And I learned about serving. I learned about sacrifice. I learned about not just getting what I want. And that's good for any teenager, right? And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at, how can you serve someone this week? The text continues, "For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, just to be clear, he's been just talking in the chapters from almost one and on about how we're not called, if we're non-Jews, okay, we're not called to become Jewish. He's a Jesus, what he did, what God accomplished through him on the cross is enough. We have access to the Father. Now let's live into it and be these people God's called us to be. But he's like, listen, if you are looking to keep the law, this is how you can keep the law. Ready? It's not about being circumcised in the Jewish tradition. It's not about having to keep all these different ordinances and stuff like that. It had 613 do's and don'ts, all based on the Ten Commandments. And all these is what they're referring to about how to be an observant Jew. And so he's like saying, listen, you don't need that anymore. That's not Jesus, what he supersedes that kind of thing. And so as he's explaining, he's like, okay, if you really want to live out the law, love one another. And that's something that Jesus said, and Paul's quoting him. He's trying to help him understand, listen, this is so much bigger, that when you truly love one another, that you're keeping the law. You're actually living out the spirit of the law. The whole point of the law was to help us to have access to God, but to try to, again, teach us how to be the people of God. And now in Jesus, because of his spirit living in us, we don't need that anymore. And so we have a chance to actually build and support and serve and encourage and love and pray for a lot of one another's in the New Testament especially. It says, but if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Now that seems kind of like a little pivot. Like, what's going on here? I feel like I jumped in the middle of the conversation. Like, Paul, what are you doing here? What we understand to be is this, that Paul is trying to help them understand. He's concerned that this church might not be able to continue on. Literally, they might shut down kind of thing because of this new teaching that they're like changing even who Jesus is and what it meant, that it wasn't enough and so on and so forth. And apparently, he's saying, listen, because you're not living out the law the way the spirit of the law of loving one another, you're actually being the worst kind of church, right? I had one of the funerals I was at this week and officiated. One of the people described just a horrible church experience that they had, and they were just connecting after the service, and all I could say was, I'm sorry that happened to you. What happened was horrible, was wrong, should never happen, because from the beginning. When we are not growing in the Lord and flourishing in the Lord, it's very difficult to love one another. It's very difficult to forgive one another. It's very difficult to serve one another. But when we are, again, having our cups filled, when we are reading God's word, when we're really being present with the Lord and with others, it's amazing how God will just help us flourish in him to the point where this seems like, wow, what? When the church gets it right, there's nothing better. But when the church gets it wrong, there's nothing worse. It's so crucial that you and I really live out what we believe and be the people God's called us to be. The text continues. He gives a warning. Beware of destroying one another. Like, this is a big deal. Like, the old way of living is causing you to do this. Let's stop that. Let's be better than that. Let's live up to our potential kind of thing. So I say, and this is Paul saying this, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Isn't that great? I mean, I love that he's like, let, right? First of all, I think that's very interesting that God has limited his work in our lives based on how we are open to him. So if you are not that open, if you have been closed or you're kind of keeping him at a distance, he'll respect you. He doesn't want to overstep, but he does love you. And he wants life with you. And so we have to let the Holy Spirit work in us and through us. We have to seek and be open to his spirit. We have to let him and be open so that he can do the deep work that you and I desperately need. But it takes it moment by moment. How are you allowing God's Spirit to work in you to direct your life, to give you your hopes and your dreams. There's a freedom that comes when you can, when you get to that point of finally surrendering your hopes and dreams. That freedom, sometimes those hopes and dreams, I mean, it's just like, I can't imagine life without it. So what, this is horrible. If God has said no to something, you can trust that his no is a great yes down the road. You can trust his no is he's going to be faithful and he's going to carry it in a way that you can't, your vision's limited. It's just, you can only see what you can see. But we trust in his goodness. He says, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. You won't be doing the things that are you're just being drawn from to do, to give your life into, that's not healthy, that's not helpful. But it's going to take discipline, love. We don't tend to like discipline. we tend to not like it, and yet we love the results from it. Following God's Spirit is freedom to serve others in love rather than our selfish desires. One of the services, one of the gentlemen who had just blessed my wife and I helped us start off right in our marriage. I mean, really just a wonderful couple. He and his wife just really poured into us. Great, great family. Love their children and so on. Just value them greatly. He had such a way of just helping you feel like you're the most important person in the room. He just had that way about him. But it was something that he had learned to do. It was something that God had cultivated in him. And you always felt like you were family when you were around him. And I just want to encourage you, that doesn't just happen. It's the deep work that God wants to do in us and help cultivate it so that we can be those people. I share that because I love the family again, and I hurt for them, but I know he's at rest in the Lord. I know that God has been working on him and in him, and now he gets to rest with God until the culmination of all things, where we will finally be all together at the final judgment and with God forever. It's good news. It's a hope that we hold on to. Remember, you've been freed for something, not just from something. This is a scripture that I love. It's not from Galatians. It says it in very similar terms, but I just thought it's so good. I got to share it with you. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. This text in John is just a great promise and a hope that we hold on to. That if the Lord has rescued us, if the Lord has set us free from our past, from brokenness, then we are free, and we need to lean in and live into that. The biggest challenge I see is brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians that go back to being slaved and enslaved into something. They just miss the relationship that you and I can have with the Lord and with brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the question that I want to leave you with is, are you free? Do you have a peace in your life? Because that's what comes from that freedom. And being the people God's called us to be, that freedom will just be, you feel alive. And I just want to encourage you to keep asking, to keep seeking, keep growing, and know that the Lord, he's very patient. And you got to understand he's got eternity. Okay, so he's working in us, and it's our role to, again, daily, moment by moment, surrender to him. Now, if you've never been with us, we started this thing called homework. I know it's not a crazy new idea, and yet for a lot of churches they don't do this, and I get that. But we hope you'll join us in this next couple weeks. Pastor George is going to be speaking, associate pastor here. The gentleman is actually the founding pastor of our church some 20 years ago, and he is actually coming this next couple weeks. 50 years of ministry. And I love him. I'm indebted to him. I'm grateful for him and his wife Diane for their ministry to my family, to our church family. But he's got a special word for us. I'm excited for him. Excited to learn from him. But classic Pastor George. Pastor George said, "What's your homework?" And usually I give you like a book and maybe like two or three, four or five chapters at most. And it's all like together. It's real easy. And he's given me books, letters all over the place. So love them. But it's, so anyways, so 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Isaiah 58, and 1 Samuel 8. Now, if we'll leave it up there for a moment. If for some reason you can't remember, you can go to our website, allvillages.org, and go to our news section. We have our newsletter every week. We always put our homework up there and everything with our whole newsletter. Helps you stay connected with everyone. Check it out. I hope it helps you. But I love him. I can't wait to see what he's got to say for us. But now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. He's placed you there for a reason. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we hope to see you next week.